1 Corinthians chapter 13. What a great chapter. Let's read this together. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When as a child I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I love the King James Bible. It's not love that's written there. It's charity. Why did God have it preserved that way? Because you and I know that real love gives. It has more than just something that's a sloppy kiss on the cheek. It gives of self. What a tremendous chapter. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight. We have the privilege to hold in our hands this great book. We thank you that it holds for us the hope of the world. It gives us truth that sets us free. Oh God, we thank you tonight for the privilege to read its pages, to behold its words, that which is the very words that come from the lips of Almighty God. How we love you that you cared enough to send them to us, to make sure that we have them, that you inspired and preserved them. God, we thank you for that. We ask tonight you might bless them to our hearts. Help us to gain truth, practical truth for our lives, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I say the word Pinterest tonight, how many would say, "Preacher, I know what you're talking about"? There's a few of them in the room that say, "Preacher, I understand that." Pinterest is a website that you can go to and you can actually become a part of. And the P on that is pin, and you can find websites that are of interest to you, and you can pin them on your own personal board. Aren't you impressed? And a lot of women especially, I don't know if there's any guys in here other than myself, really love Pinterest. They do it for recipes. They do it for different ideas. Some in here use it for teaching ideas, can use it for decorating ideas. Rich, you need it, building ideas. It's got all sorts, it's an idea place. I do it mainly because I have found that there are a number, literally hundreds of quotes that inspire me and mean something. And so if you are Pinterest, you can actually follow my page and find out what's interest of me. Aren't you impressed? It's Twitter gone crazy. It's Facebook in another realm, but I find it somewhat interesting. Probably most of you have heard what I'm about to read that have been on that. Perhaps you have seen this, perhaps you've read it, and perhaps you have even pinned it, for I pinned it from one of yours. I want to read the following. because what I find in this is a direct application of the Scripture. I'm not sure what you would call this. It is taking the words of chapter number 13 and making an application very directly to parenting. Are parents to love their children? Are parents to love their children? Let's have an interactive service tonight where when something is said, you say, Amen. All right. Parenting is, okay? Now, either in this room, you are a parent or you are a product of a parent. Do we have any others like that? Okay, so you are either a parent or you are a product of parenting. If you're a product of parenting, one of these days, probably you will become a parent. We find that the Word of God has so much to say about parenting. So many things that we need to understand from the Word of God. I would insist upon you going to the book of Proverbs and finding there are seven major verses in Proverbs about parenting that you need to know and understand. I've dealt with them from service from this pulpit on many different occasions. That's not my intent tonight. But parenting is very important. I have entitled my message directly off of this morning's with this title, Parenting for Perfection. And when I use the word perfection, I mean maturity. We want to bring our children to maturity. Amen? I don't mean little kids who grow up to be big kids. I mean little kids who grow up to be big kids who become adults who are mature in the right sense. So allow me to read. I'm not sure if you call this a parody, but it was written by a woman by the name of Katie Loveland. I will try to read this slowly. Perhaps I'll read sections of it twice. She entitled this 1 Corinthians 13 for Moms. But believe me, this can be for dads. And I quote what she writes. If my child speaks in the tongues of men or of angels, masters sign language at 6 months and Spanish and Mandarin Chinese by 6 years, but does not learn to love, she is only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Does that bring that home? If he has the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, ABCs at a year, reading by two, writing chapter books in kindergarten, but does not have love, he is nothing. If I volunteer for every mommy ministry, I don't know what this is, MOPS, M-O-P-S, Awana, I understand, Sunday school, and if I give all I possess to the poor, or at least bring loads of groceries to the food bank, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Interesting perspective, amen? Catch what we're about to hear now. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy other mothers' lifestyle choices or possessions. It does not boast in the areas of my children's natural strengths while covering for their faults. It is not proud of the way my child potty trained before your child. Oh, I got to read that again. It does not envy another mother's lifestyle choices or possessions. It does not boast in the areas of my children's natural strengths while covering for their faults. It is not proud of the way my child potty trained before your child. It does not dishonor others by insisting that my method of parenting is the best. It is not self-seeking, hoping that you will notice how smart, talented, or well-rounded I am raising my child to be. It is not easily angered by personal slights or misjudgments. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth that all of parenting is fueled and driven by God's grace. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Even where I have fallen painfully short of God's best for my children, But where there are competitions to see whose body bounces back best after childbirth, they will cease. Did you catch that? Where there are verbal fights over the correct methods of discipline, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge about the best way to feed and clothe and nurture a child, it will pass away. For we know in part and we parent incompletely, but when they are fully grown, what we thought we knew about raising our children will disappear. And every grandparent in here can say, oh me, amen. When I was a new parent, I thought, spoke, and reasoned with immaturity and without grace. As my children grew, I asked God to give me the wisdom to put these childish ways behind me. For now we see our children's future as only a reflection, as in a mirror. One day we will behold their adult selves face to face. Now I know in part, then we shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. What thoughts this lady brings forth from this chapter of love that really speak of where we are so often at? With those thoughts in my mind, there were a number of, I used to call it potpourri thoughts that entered into my mind concerning mommies and daddies. Things I've heard, things I've observed throughout years of ministry in this church. I do not go to the world for these thoughts. I do not go to other places, but what I have seen and heard right here. I have heard mothers or heard of mothers tell seasoned mothers and grandmothers how to change a diaper. How what was best, and yet when child number two came, all those rules went out the door. How we ought to learn in this thing. Amen. Parenting is not an easy job. But there are some things that I believe are very foolish as we consider this wonderful calling that God has given to us. I've often wondered, why did God give us children when we were young and dumb? And not wait until we were old and infirm. I guess it's because God wants us to have grandparents who could kind of help kids through those awful spots that moms and dads put them through. I want to share with you some thoughts. I've heard this one often. These do not go in any order. They do not go in any order of importance. But some things I'd like to share with you tonight, and I'd like to share with you why they are, well, whatever they are. I've heard this said often by parents, I don't like being the bad guy. I'm always the bad guy. And I don't like being the bad guy. Well, may I remind you tonight that good guys correct because they love their children. May I remind you tonight that bad guys don't care about their children. Can we get that straight tonight? Can we get it straight tonight that God did not call you to be your child's friend? God called you to be a parent. What is a parent? A friend? One who says, oh, that's okay, buddy, just come to me. No, no, no. A parent is one who says, this is the way it's going to be. Remember the Bible tells us about the rod of authority? He that spareth his rod does what? The Bible speaks of that being a hatred. Interesting. God didn't call you to be a friend, but to be the authority. To be the one who established the rod within the family. By the way, time out for just a moment. You would be better off without timeouts. And be better off with time-ins. You'd be better off to bring out that rod of authority, whatever it might be, and to let them know that there is rulership in this family. We can do it kindly. We can do it effectively. But we need to be a people who what? Master the art of discipline. Some children, you can speak to them and it's enough. Some children, you got to beat the fire out of them before they even recognize you're in the room. By the way, if you have a strong-willed child, my recommendation to you is to be stronger in will than your child. My motto when my children were growing up was, I don't lose the battles. Very simple.
I don't like being the bad guy.
Maybe we ought to look at it differently. You're the good guy when you're making sure your child is doing what's right.
I've heard this say, that hurts me more than you.
Ask my children if it ever hurt me worse than it did them. Ask me when my daddy got the horse whip out and waylaid my behind in so tough. I tell you what. Aaliyah, you've ridden a lot of horses. Did you ever use a whip on a horse? I used a whip. I had this leather strap about yay wide. It was about so long. Had a little handle grip on it. If you ever had a Shetland male pony, I mean, you had a stallion, you better have a whip in your hand. He was mean. He was ornery. He didn't like me. He didn't like life. He didn't like anything that was anywhere near his back. And I found out what that thing felt like one time. I guarantee you on that day that did not hurt my daddy worse than it hurt me. But you know what my dad gave me that day when he pulled that thing? Actually, it was my mother. I better not say my dad. And that was another occasion I remember very well. I remember two spankings very vividly. It was not a torture, but it was a gift that they gave me. See, I remember the incident very well. In those days, when a person talked on the telephone, did you know that there might be 20 other people with a phone in their ear listening to your conversation? Because we were on a party land. Our ring was two shorts and a long, and so when that phone went ring, 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 that was ours. If it went ring, 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 that wasn't us. If it went ring, 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 that wasn't us. What that meant was, that's somebody else, one of your neighbors, and if you pick it up, you can listen. Interesting conversation. You didn't want to have anything too awful private on the telephone in those days. Kids here today, they have. Matter of fact, many of you in this room, you have no idea what it's like to not have a private line. Matter of fact, most walk around with cell phones in their pockets today. And my mom had been talking on the telephone, and my sister and I had been fighting, and she had said, shut up, and we didn't shut up. But I found out what shut up meant after that. It meant while mom was on the telephone, do not be talking. It hurt me more than her. But it was not a torture, though it hurt. It was a gift that was given to me. Out of love as a gift, not out of anger as a release. There is a difference. Young people, if mom and dad take the switch to your behind end, a belt, or, hey, I got a new one. I got some extras. You want one? You know those little rods that come out of those Venetian blinds right there? They're about that long and they're plastic. They hurt like fire. Some of you think I'm cruel and unusual in my methods of torture. But seriously, it's a gift. Not to be applied to cause the child permanent damage, but to be applied to help a child understand that sin hurts. That's the principle that is there. And so you're not doing something to your child, you're doing something for them. So it's not a matter, hey, this hurts me more than you. No, it does hurt you, and there's a reason for it. It's to help you understand something very vividly. And though I mentioned the rod tonight, that does not have to be used all the time. And all the children in the room said, amen, preacher. I've never heard it just like this, but I've seen it demonstrated just like this. Football is more important than faith. Let me ask you a question. What if someday your child's 20, 25 years of age, and you look at that child and you think, my goodness, my child has never missed a prayer meeting, but they have missed some athletic events. Somehow, we have brought into our children's life the idea and the realization, and it becomes a realization to them, that other things are more important than God's business. Did you ever wonder why we are losing so many of our children when they get to be in their later teenage years? Walking out of church never to darken the door again because they've not seen the reality of Christ in your life or my life. They've not seen that as it ought to be. They've not seen that these things are more important than the things in the world. We get more excited over a football game than we do over the house of God and the place of prayer. We get more excited over some of these kinds of things. How that ought not to be. Is what you do for your child, is what you do for your child's relationship to God or to the world? Is whatever you do for your child to build a relationship with God, or is what you do for your child to build a relationship with the world? The things of God, are they not important? Ought they not be most important in our lives? It seems reasonable to me to be able to say yes. It seems to me like we ought to be able to say, yes, preacher, we ought to project God more than anything else. The Jew was to what? Write the Scriptures on the very doorpost of the house. What's that mean? When they're leaving the house, they see the Word of God. When they walk in the house, they see the Word of God. It was to be like frontlets before their eyes. Rather than knowing the Ten Commandments, most kids grow up realizing that if they lose the ball on when they fall on the ground and somebody else picks it up, it's a fumble. No more the rules. By the way, no more the athletic personnel than the people in the Word of God. I'm amazed at how many of God's people can name off names of football and basketball and baseball players from 10 and 15 and 20 years ago that cannot name me 15 characters from the Word of God. What's wrong with us? Could it be our priorities are misplaced? By the way, I'm not preaching against football, basketball, baseball. I love all three sports. I'm not preaching against those things, but there ought to be something that's far more important than that. If a kid plays football, so be it. But God ought to be more important. Amen? Let me ask you a question. And it comes directly from one of the things that this lady said in her writings. What is the real reason you want your children to be obedient? I had a preacher's son stand right in my backyard, talk to me face to face, and he said to me, he said, my daddy wants me to behave because he's the pastor of a church, not because he loves me. Did you catch what I'm saying? He's not interested in the fact he wants me to behave because it's a direction that he wants in my life and wants me to have a relationship with God. He's only interested in what other people think of him because of my actions. Quite frankly, I've heard that many times, but that was in my backyard. You know what he's saying? My daddy's more interested in what other people think of him as a father than what they think of me as a son. Now let's take that right down to where all of us live at, though. Why do we really want our children to obey? Is it for our own pride? By the way, a lot of daddies want their boys to play football because they'd be proud of him. They wouldn't be near as proud of him praying as they would for him playing quarterback. But by the same token, we want our children oftentimes to behave and to follow the proper things that the folks in church expect, not because we want that for our children, but we want that for ourselves. We ought to take inventory. We ought to stop and consider, where am I at in this thing? I save this one for last because it's my pet peeve. Isn't that so cute? Little Junior just walk up and hit his father. Isn't that cute? Little Junior just done something really terrible. And by the way, it did look cute. But you ought to be on board of taking care of your child and changing behavior as to reminding everybody else, aren't they cute? The Lord Jesus said something to us. I'm just going to paraphrase. When we walk into a feast, and there's chairs of importance that are there, and there's the head table. He said, don't walk in and go up to the head table, assuming that that is your position. He said, it'd be better for you to take the lower seat, to be in the very last spot, and have the Lord come and say, no, you belong up here, than to go up there and have Him say, no, you belong back there. Parents, why don't you let me brag about your children instead of you? Why don't you let other folks see in them and brag about them rather than you telling me how wonderful they are? I had 6 kids. I wish I had a good one along the way somewhere. Rich, you're loving this too much. But quite seriously, we see in them sometimes and want other people to see in them when in fact we ought to also understand they are sinners that need to be directed. We will cover up all their little idiosyncrasies and all those things that are in their lives. They want to brag about the other. Boy, look at my son. He's 6'6". Weighs 250 pounds. Can't help that 50 pounds of it's here. Forgive me on this one. I'm using this as an illustration. He had not one thing to do with becoming 6'6". Whatever natural ability he has, or any other my children or your children, that was from God. And we don't thank God for what He has accomplished in lives. far too often we get braggadocious about their natural abilities. You know what our problem is, parents? I have this problem. You have it. We all have it. We want to be so proud. And you know what we develop in our children? Pride. The curse of our generation. That which takes us down. The Lord loves a humble and contrite spirit. And far too often we build, rather than that kind of spirit, a proud, boastful spirit. What am I saying tonight? We need the grace of Almighty God as parents, as grandparents. Those who are going to be parents, we need God's wonderful grace in this. And none of us have got a handle on it. But God has a word that teaches us some very important principles. I beg you, I dare you, get out that book of Proverbs and find those verses. See what God says about it. Search the Scriptures. Daddies, you ought to find out everything you can about our Heavenly Father. He is our great fatherly example. He's the one. And begin to lead in that aspect. How glorious it'd be. And by the way, it's all done because of what this chapter is all about. Because we love. Because we love. Because without it, whatever we try to teach or say or do, it's like a tinkling cymbal. And if the only reason that you and I are directing our children in the direction that they are going is for our own pride, it's not the right reason. And one of these days, it not be known in part, it will be known in full. And that relationship builds and builds and builds. And God gives you wonderful fruit. Let God have His way in these things. If I have stepped on your toes tonight, move them. If the fur has been rubbed the wrong way, turn the cat around. There's some things that need change in our lives. Our kids need us to direct them because it's what God wants. And it's the direction we need to take them for Him. He's very serious when He tells us, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Speak to us. Help us to learn day in and day out. Lord, we're hardly even anywhere near maturity when You give us children. Lord, I was so ignorant. I had no idea what even birth was about. Lord, so ignorant about the things that need to be there. And Lord, whatever's happened has only been but by Your grace. How we need that. Lord, many of my opinions were wrong. Many of the things I looked at had wrong perspective. Lord, many times I governed for pride's sake. Oh God, forgive us of these areas. Make us, mold us, oh God. And I pray for our young ones who are hearing this tonight, especially our teens, that they might take to heart and realize that one of these days, very soon, they're going to be placed in that position. They might reach out to You and seek Your guidance and Your leadership. For Lord, it's an awesome responsibility. Work on our hearts tonight. Lord, I don't know how to even order an invitation. I believe we should have one for some reason. But God, I pray that you would just work in our hearts. Bless tonight, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.